Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose coming to this world was proclaimed to all of mankind by John the Baptist, dear fellow redeemed. Last Sunday, we heard our Savior's Advent call to us. He calls us to be alert Christians and to beware of indifference. He calls us to be responsible Christians, and he calls us to be expectant Christians. Well, today we're listening to God's Advent preacher, John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who came before the Lord in order to prepare the way for the Lord. John's message, the forerunner, was repentance unto forgiveness. This morning, next Sunday, we'll be listening to John's message as he helps us prepare our hearts for the celebration of our Savior's birth. Everything about John was unique. His conception, his birth, was a miracle. So miraculous that God announced it, an angel. His parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, never had children. And now they were too old for bearing a child. And so when Zacharias heard the message from the angel, he doubted it. And he was struck dumb. He could not speak until the child was circumcised. And suddenly he regained his voice, and filled by the Holy Spirit, he prophesied about who this child was and what his office, what his ministry was to be all about. But John was not only unique, he was also special. He was a Nazarite. He drank no wine, no strong drink. He lived alone in the wilderness. He dressed in camel skins. His diet was locusts and wild honey. He's a very forceful, powerful speaker. His courageous faith was probably his greatest attribute. But even as John was unique and special, the message he proclaimed was even more unique and special. For John didn't talk about himself. He talked about the coming one. He was the forerunner to prepare the way, the hearts for the people, for the coming Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. And so our theme this morning is this: listen to God's Advent preacher. First of all, he was sent by God. Secondly, he calls each of us to repent. And thirdly, he announces that the Savior has come. Mark tells us that this man, John, was no ordinary man, nor was he on just an ordinary mission. At the beginning of John's gospel, he quotes from two prophets, both Malachi and Isaiah, to show that this John was a messenger sent directly by God. We read again verses 2 and 3. "As it is written," Mark writes, "as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." just as a messenger, a forerunner, would go before a king and tell someone in the city, the king is coming. Prepare the roads. Prepare yourselves. He'll be soon in your city, in your town. Get ready. So John was called to be that messenger, that forerunner. We heard that in our Old Testament reading in Isaiah 40. John is a messenger from God. John didn't invent this calling. He didn't choose himself. God chose him. God chose him especially to be that forerunner, that ambassador, that messenger to his son. And knowing that, we had better listen carefully to the message of this chosen one. What is his Advent message for you and me? What's he telling us this morning, December 7th, 2014? It's almost 2,000 years after he walked the face of this earth. We see in our text, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And again, Matthew tells us, John proclaimed, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was preaching a baptism of repentance. The people of John's day were told that they should expect an earthly Messiah, a religious leader who would come and bring peace on earth and have a utopia for all the Israelites to live in. They were told that they were okay just the way they were by outwardly keeping the commandments of God. They didn't need to worry about their sins because they were God's chosen people. They were the children of Israel. And God was a God of love. Just do your best outwardly. And that's all you need to do. Into the arena now walks John. So unique. So special. With a special message. It's like a blast of cool, fresh, moist air on a hot, parched day in the desert. John's calling was to get at the heart. Get at the heart of every single person in Israel. And the only way to do that was to preach the law. The people thought that by keeping the commandments outwardly and by being good outwardly, they were doing what God commanded. But God, through John, needed to show the people that God demands perfection. Perfect in thought, in word, and action. Perfect love. A perfect attitude of love toward God and toward our neighbor. In everything we think, in everything we say, in everything we do. John needed to show them very clearly that they and all of us, by nature, are dead in sins, incapable of keeping any of God's commandments perfectly, and therefore the only way that we can get out of this situation is by confessing our sins, repenting of our sins, and trusting in Jesus. Repentance is not just talk. It's not just saying, I'm sorry for my sins. Repentance is a complete change of heart and mind. It involves a turning away from sin and turning toward that which cleanses us our sins. It's an about face. The person who is led by the Holy Spirit to repent of his sins no longer rejoices or joys sinning. He sees the horror of his sins, that he has broken God's commandments. He sees that he deserves death and damnation because of his sins and realizes there's nothing that he himself can do to save him from his sins. That was John's calling. To prepare the way of the Lord. To make his path straight. A forerunner before the king would go to the individual cities out there in the wilderness and tell the people, the king is coming. Get your roads ready. Prepare them. Level off those high hills. Straighten out those crooked roads. and fill all those potholes and all those bad spots. Make it a smooth road. So when your king comes, he can ride on a nice, smooth, straight road right into your city and prepare yourselves for the king to come. And that's exactly what John was called to do. May none of us be indifferent to this call of the forerunner as we're getting ready to prepare for the coming of our Savior, celebrating his birth in a few weeks. The coming of our Savior is coming at the end of time, which could be at any day. It's not the outward appearance that counts. It's not sitting there in the pews, outwardly looking like we're hearing the word. It's what's in the heart. The hills and the mountains of arrogance and pride and self-righteousness and self-importance needs to be leveled with the law. The crooked paths of fraud and deceit and lies and hypocrisy must be straightened out by God's word. The valleys and the potholes of indifference, depression, despair must be filled with zeal to serve the Lord. And the rough places of sinful habits need to be smoothed out for the Lord to come into our hearts through faith. But John also preached a baptism of repentance for forgiveness. Remember when John the Baptist was there in the Jordan River and he saw Jesus walking by? He said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John's calling was to proclaim the good news of forgiveness and salvation to all those who are crushed by their sins, led to repent of their sins, to see that there is salvation, there is a rescue, there is a deliverance, alone through that coming one, that Christ, that Messiah, the Savior. Repentance in the broad sense means all of that. It's the law condemning one, leading him to despair, but the gospel then showing him, the sorrowing heart, that Jesus alone is the one who lifts up our sorrows, who takes away all of our sins, and says to us, "Be of good cheer, your sins are all forgiven you." It affects that change in our heart. No longer do we believe that we can save ourselves by coming to church, saying our prayers, by doing good things, by things that we do, but we're saved alone by what Jesus Christ has done for us. That was John's message. And that was also what he performed, a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And finally, John assures us that the Savior has come in the person of Christ. We read in verses 7 and 8, "And he preached, saying, 'There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" As a forerunner, John was to point the hearts of the people away from themselves to Jesus. He was not to talk about himself, but the one who is coming after him. He was only a witness to the greater one. Yes, John was born first, but Jesus being God was from all eternity. Yes, John was very popular and powerful and great, but Jesus being God was even greater than John. In fact, John says he wasn't even worthy to do the work of a slave. He wasn't even worthy to unstrap the Savior's strap of his sandal. The last verse that we hear John saying here, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," has been taken by some to believe that John's baptism was different than ours. The Spirit was not involved in John's baptism. Well, that's not so. John is talking about the gift of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is going to give to the disciples 50 days after his death and resurrection at Pentecost. And Jesus tells us that because Jesus said too, "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized, poured out upon with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." John's baptism is no different than our baptism. It was done though before the coming of Christ. Our baptism is done after Christ's coming. Baptism in Christ forgives sins. We're told that For we mentioned that Paul writes, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Peter declared on Pentecost, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And Ananias said to Paul when he was converted, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Baptism is not just a sign of forgiveness. Those who have been led to repent of their sins receive forgiveness of sins through baptism because of our Savior's suffering, death, and resurrection from the grave. So the purpose for all of John's preaching, the purpose for all of John's calling the people to repent of their sins and for baptizing these people was again to prepare the way for the Lord, prepare the people's hearts for Jesus coming into their hearts through faith. And that's all God's doing upon the hearts of people through his word, the law, and the gospel. And still today, the Lord uses that same message some 2,000 years later, proclaimed by pastors, teachers, lay members like you and me, to do the same thing in the hearts of people today, to lead them to see that they aren't the good people they think they are. Because God demands perfection. And not just perfection outwardly, but perfection in the heart. How often have we not even cared about our neighbors, much less loved them perfectly, and to lead them to repent of their sins, and then see in Jesus the only way to everlasting life. God comes to man, not man coming to God. God saved us by Christ's substitutionary life and death upon the cross. And then in that message of salvation, his life, his death, his resurrection, he works that saving faith in our hearts, leading us to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus. Listen to God's Advent preacher. John is speaking this morning to every single one of you, even though he doesn't know you. He's also speaking to me. He's saying, repent and believe in Jesus Christ alone. God has shown you where there's salvation. Christ has come. He did live that perfect life of obedient love in everything he thought, said, and did. He then did go to the cross with his perfect life and sacrificed it upon the cross. He paid for the guilt and punishment of our sins, met God's justice perfectly, and now we've all been declared righteous in Christ Jesus. He did rise from the dead and ascend into heaven and says, I prepare a place for you, and someday I'll come again to take you to be with me in heaven. That is the Advent message. That's what Advent's all about. May the coming of the Holy Spirit prepare our hearts once again for the good news of our Savior's coming. By leading us all to repent of our sins as we did this morning, and then with joy and rejoicing, receive our Savior and worship him again this Christmas and always. In conclusion this morning, and read hymn 75. Ye sons of men, O hearken, your heart and mind prepare to hail the Almighty Savior. O sinners, be your care. He who of grace alone our life and light was given, the promised Lord from heaven unto our world is shown. Prepare the way before him, prepare for him the best. Cast out whate'er offendeth this great, this heavenly guest. Make straight, make plain the way, the lowly valleys raising, the heights of pride abasing, his path all even lay. The humble heart and lowly God lifteth up on high. Beneath his feet in anguish the haughty soul shall lie. The heart sincere and right that heeds God's invitation and makes true preparation
It is the Lord's delight.
Prepare my heart, Lord Jesus. Turn not from me aside, and grant that I receive thee this blessed Adventide. From stall and manger low, come thou to dwell within me. Loud praises will I sing thee, and forth thy glory show. Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our coming Savior. Amen.